You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. We begin this morning with something, if it's possible to say, bigger than news. The deteriorating U.S. economy has suddenly become on many fronts and on many levels a transformative theme of American life, personally and on a macro scale. Both presidential candidates are presenting complicated economic plans this week that at best deal with small aspects of the changes taking place in the U.S. economy. John McCain is focused on shrinking the government sector, broadly lowering taxes and deficits. Barack Obama is calling for additional stimulus to keep Americans buying. He's calling for changes in trade policy and lowering taxes for the middle class. But there's a sense, and I think you can feel it, that the trends in the U.S. economy are out in front of both candidates. In a moment, we're going to look at echoes of the troubled 1970s in this historic campaign. Remember, there was inflation, there were energy problems, there were problems in the Middle East back in the 70s. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, it used to be that when General Motors sneezed, remember this phrase, the whole U.S. economy got a bad cold? It's probably good that no one says that anymore, because GM is perhaps facing the worst crisis of its existence right now. Stock at more than half-century lows, sales plummeting, big job cuts, plant closures already announced. Now the Wall Street Journal reports that in advance of a crucial board meeting in early August, the company, and it's almost hard to believe this, has started to completely rethink its business. What is that like? What does that even mean? He co-wrote the book Freakonomics. Our friend Stephen Dubner is here. Stephen, I mean, Freakonomics, the CEO of General Motors, put me in the mindset of someone who's the head of one of the most stable, traditionally stable businesses in the United States, having to rethink the business. What does that even mean?
Well, that's hard to say. My first thought is panic. This is why capitalism is often called creative destruction. Okay, I think when you're in a short term, when you're in a period right now where there's short term worry or panic across the board in the economy, I think one of the healthiest things to do is take a long view and see what it means. Okay.
Well, the fact that they're even doing that pushed GM's price up 7% yesterday.
Absolutely,
it was interesting.
Here's something that's fun to do. Go to your favorite stock trading site and type in the long term stock prices for three companies: General Motors, Eastman Kodak, and IBM, okay? And guess which one is up in the three?
GM.
IBM.
IBM.
Why has IBM done relatively very well over the past 30, 40 years, while GM and Eastman Kodak have not? It's because when IBM was known for making typewriters, what were they also doing? They were also figuring out how to make computers, and then computers became the thing, and they did it.
So it's looking ahead.
Even then they had to adapt again, even more recently, when they sold off their laptop business, which was an interesting move and which was widely criticized, which turned out to be a fantastic move. They sold it off to Lenovo, a Chinese company. So now they make their money selling big computer servers and software. What Eastman Kodak faced was, holy cow, digital cameras. How are we going to make money at that? Let's try to figure it out. What GM is facing now is, hey, people aren't buying big cars. What are we going to do? Let's figure it out. You got to
scramble.
And
perhaps they should have faced it before. So the issue is not so much transformations in the economy, even though that's news. It's a corporation's inability to think forward enough to adapt.
It's easy for us to say that, but my goodness, these are hard problems. What we're facing right now are a few things happening at once that don't often happen at once. We're seeing big behavior change. The American public is finally driving less. This has never happened.
Well, it's even bigger than that. The highest selling car, the Ford Explorer, is now not even on the charts.
Right.
And that is in 1 year that happened.
It's probably a lot of the reason for why this behavior change has happened is people like us, right? If the media tells you over and over again, gas is so expensive, how on earth can you afford to drive? Even though gas still comprises a relatively very minor share of most people's budgets. Most people's, okay?
But it's not just the media. I mean, for example, there was this week a Merrill Lynch analyst who said it's not impossible to imagine that GM would be filing for bankruptcy. There was immediate responses from other analysts who said that's not the case. They have billions of dollars of cash on hand. They just need to figure out what their future looks like.
Absolutely. My point here is that drivers have made a big shift for the first time in a long time. If you look at total miles driven over the last 6 or 8 months, they're actually down. That never happens in this country, in part because we have more and more people, more and more cars, more and more roads. Now you're seeing $4 gas has been this mental point where people have hit it and said, holy cow, I am going to change it. And then that changes the market.
Well, so what does GM do? Do they get into bicycles? I mean, let's talk about Adora's bankruptcy point for a moment. Is there a difference between actual bankruptcy and the perception of bankruptcy? When everyone thinks you're bankrupt, it's kind of the same thing.
Well, yeah, there is a difference. But I mean, this is the danger of being a slow-moving industry in a fast-moving economy. And that's life, and that's why it is called creative destruction. Look, when I said I take the long view, here's what I mean. There are a lot of people in America right now who are feeling that global capitalism is really bad news. And all I would say is, when you're feeling that way, it's probably good to take a step back and think. It reminds me a little bit of what Churchill said about democracy. Democracy is the worst form of government, Churchill said, except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time.
Right, but GM can't say that about the auto industry because there are other industries that are actually really better.
Can I also say this? As patriotic as one may be, as patriotic as you guys may be, as concerned as you may be for GM, it is not our job to make GM succeed. This is what happens in capitalism.
It's their job, right. All right, Stephen Dubner, a co-author of Freakonomics, describing the Freakonomics experience of General Motors trying to rethink its business. Joining us now is Gideon Rachman, who's the chief foreign affairs commentator for the Financial Times.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.